Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine site, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, got to see you in person today. We got to attend day two of camp, got a little sun, took in a little Justin Fields. How are you feeling about your experience at camp?
It was fun. You know, we kind of talked a little bit on the pre-show here, but the atmosphere was cool. Last year was a bit, seemed like there wasn't quite as many fans. This year, though, it was deep. I mean, the bleachers were packed. There was people all around, as much as they do let in. I mean, there still wasn't, like Bourbonnais days, but it was still a good atmosphere, good crowd. And it was fun because there was some kids really wanted Justin Fields autographed before. Whoa. I don't think he's going to come over here to the middle of practice guy, but fired up, man. They were fired up.
I mean, I kind of wanted to be like, all right, where's your adult to tell you to maybe like cut it out? But there were three kids. We were at the top corner of a bleacher on the end zone. And then right below us, there were three kids. They were yelling, Justin Fields, Justin Fields. And then they got like angrier and angrier.
It sounded about mad. Yeah.
They started to get like, you need to come over here and give me an autograph. And so I yelled down like, hey, they're practicing. He's not going to do that now. After practice, stand on the line like everybody else. Yeah. But Justin did acknowledge them.
Yeah, he did.
He kind of waved like, and then they just kind of kept escalating. I was like, kid, like let's cut it out. I'm not going to listen to you yell for 2 hours for Justin.
Let's just shut down practice. We'll let these guys give some autographs. We'll get back to it. I don't think Coach Flusa would have been okay with that. He only has his 2 hour time here, so he has to get everything in the 2 hours.
And it does really speak to that Justin Fields entering that star level status with the fans, though. There really is a fervor around him. So yes. That was pretty funny. So we got there, staked out a corner of the bleachers, and we had a really nice viewpoint of a lot of the offensive line stuff. And then we got to see a lot. The 7-on-7 and the team drills were all right in front of us. So we had optimal time seating for that. The pictures that I was able to take and share, some of them have a pole right in the middle of it. Some of them, the field goal post is blocking.
Crossbar, yeah.
Is what it is, But we did manage to have really good view and got to see, I think, a sharper Justin Fields today. We'll get into that in a little bit. And some fun stuff for us to talk about, for us to see as this team continues to shape itself. I think there were some notable things that happened today. So why don't we get into that? Why don't we always start with the offensive line. Yep. So let's start there, in our trench tribute category. So I think that the major thing that happened here that we need to talk about was, first of all, Lucas Patrick, injured. He's out. Looks like he may require surgery. Don't know the timetable. I don't know if you saw a timetable yet or anything like that.
I think it might've been Brad Biggs tweeted something about though, since it's happening, when it's happening, there is some hope that he could get the surgery done, taken care of, and be back by the regular season. So, Again, at this point, it's all speculation. Once they, once they go in there and see what it is, they'll know how bad it is. But, if it's not his snapping hand, club it up, man. Let's go.
Club it up. Let's do it. Yeah. So, I think it's one practice, but Doug Kramer was taking the rest with the ones, and then they slid Mustafa over from guard to be the second string center for the practice. Jatire Carter got the first team snaps at right guard. And then at left guard was Zach Thomas because Cody Whitehair took a vet's day. So he came out with a hat on and I was like, oh, looks like Whitehair's got a vet day. And then it was Riley Reif taking first team reps at left tackle. And then right tackle was still Larry Borum.
Yep. I do want to mention that before practice, they kind of come out there and get loose. Cody Whitehair and Zach Thomas spent a lot of time together. He was really, you always hear about how the veterans kind of take the young guys under their wing, kind of, teach them the way. And we saw it. I mean, we saw it firsthand. I mean, they had a bag. They went over on the side. They did a lot of work together. It was Zach Thomas, Cody Whitehair, just kind of going through the motions, kind of, going through some blocking techniques. And, for me, that's the kind of stuff I like to see when I go to camp. I mean, the plays are cool. It's fun. But, you know, seeing those little things that, you know, you don't really hear about that too often. But, man, here's Cody White here, one of the few vets on this team, embracing that role and teaching the young guys the way.
Yeah, it looked like the offensive line room did look like it was getting along pretty well. You saw a little bit of that from other players too, right? I mean, I saw a little interaction there with Schofield, who seems very excited to be a Chicago Bear, as he should be from
the area.
Chicago
guy, yeah.
He was playing with the second team still, but I'd imagine there'd be more mixing in there. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins wasn't there. I think we don't know. I mean, we're at practice. They're not coming around and telling us exactly why every player is not on the field, but he's not there. So there's, again, some speculation on what that might be. Might be illness, might be injury. I don't know if we know any more than that at this point. But, you know, his absence was notable.
The only thing they said, I believe, at the presser was he woke up the other day, which is what we heard yesterday. Same thing. He woke up, something wasn't right, and they're taking care of it. So, you know, they said something about he's with the trainers. That could be anything. That could be, there's no point in speculating. It could be anything. It could be anything from an injury to an illness. Who knows? You know, unless they come out and, you know, put him back on the pup or something weird like that happens and it's another back surgery. If something like that happens, then it's panic time. But for now, let's all take a breath. Let's see how this plays out. If he's missing a long term, then it's an issue. But right now, it's nothing until it's something, I guess.
Well, and again, I think that Reef was signed to be the left tackle. I don't think that there's much, you know, debate there. But if we get to practice tomorrow and Reef's taking first team snaps, I think we can just call it okay. Like, you know, that's what it is now. That, you know, the first day of practice, he was still running behind a little bit, but you knew that he was going to take over there quick. And I think that's best for Braxton Jones too. So nothing wrong with that. Anything else on, you know, any of the defensive side? Anything? I mean, it's tough to tell without pads on, you know, all that, but anything bounce out to you in the trenches on the defense?
You know, there was at one point in practice a big uproar because like you said, we were right in front of the O-line. D-line was in the other field, and I tweeted out, you know, something happened over there. They're really excited. And apparently Laquelle London broke the blocking sled, which has got everyone fired up. But then someone else tweeted at me later that it was Charles Snowden. So someone broke the blocking sled on the defensive side of the ball. So that's good to see.
It is. And that's something that defensive guys would get very excited about. Yeah. I feel like if offensive linemen broke it, they'd be like, oh,
we got to fix
this. Coach. Yeah. We'll fix it. You know, I'll make it up to you. Right. You know, just different mentality.
Let's get the bolt back in there.
I can fix it, guys. I can fix it. So again, it's tough to tell anything much in the trenches without pads on, but you can get a little bit of sense of who's cycling in and out at those positions. And it's just interesting to see, you know, it's a vet day off for Cody White here. So there's nothing wrong with him or anything like that. He's just taking a day. He looked like he was really enjoying himself, right? Taking the shotgun snaps on some of the O-line stuff. And it looked like he was having a lot of fun, but it's interesting to see like, well, okay, what is their thinking if Cody White here were to miss some time? Right. What would that be? What would that look like? Okay. It looks like Zach Thomas right now is the guy that they see that as, or, you know, hey, Lucas Patrick, he is missing time. What does that look like? Is it Sam Mustipher sliding over to take the first team reps, or they give a chance to Doug Kramer? And that, you know, so far it looks like Doug Kramer. So just kind of interesting to see what happens when you have those opportunities open up.
It was really cool to see all three rookies on the interior. You know, I mean, if you watch their tape, they're rookies, but with a guy like Tatir Carter played at a HBCU, I think it was Southern, you know, real raw on film, but, you know, so much potential. And the fact that the Bears decided, hey, we got some guys out here, let's have Mustipher step back, be the backup center. And with Carter, you know what, you're going to start today at right guard. I think that's nice. That's a nice thing for the rookie. I mean, those little things like that can really help a young guy's confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was good to see. Another thing that was good to see was Justin Fields looked pretty sharp today. I know there's a couple interceptions that we can talk about, but you know, the 7-on-7 drill, I tracked that yesterday. He was 5 out of 10 on the 7-on-7 drill, which for a 7-on-7 drill, that's not great. Today he was a perfect 10 for 10. Most of the stuff was underneath. You know, it wasn't anything long. There wasn't like high degree of difficulty throws, but he progressed pretty quickly. He wasn't like trying to sit there, you know, stand there and take a long time to deliver the ball. But in team drills, he looked pretty good. He did throw one ball that was tipped. I thought it was tipped by Mooney. Biggs reported it was tipped by Pringle. It was tipped by a Bear receiver, and it went into Kyler Gordon's hands for an interception. And then he threw a ball a little bit behind Cole Kmet, and Jaquan Brisker made an excellent play on it had an interception. So the rookies both got interceptions off of Fields today.
Yeah, but like you said, overall Fields, he was sharp most of the day. You know, it was fun because like you mentioned, we were right there in front of the team portion of the practice. You know, seeing the Shanahan-esque style offense was kind of cool to see the bootlegs. You know, it's not live, but you know, they're still going through the motions of the play action. So you kind of see that. You see the bootlegs, even on plays where the handoffs are made. I like watching a quarterback what he does afterwards. You know, because that's all part of the illusion. You have to sell the whole thing, and if a quarterback is not going to sell that fake, you know, after the handoff, that's a problem. The Bears quarterbacks, all three of them look good. Or a lot of times I just would just watch him regardless of what happened. And, you know, the handoff was made, but you really couldn't tell by the way they ran through their motion. So it was kind of cool just seeing that. And, you know, I've been talking all offseason how excited I am to see this Luke Getsy offense. So it was cool seeing it up close and personal.
Yeah. And so they're practicing run plays, which again, without pads. Okay. Right. It's tough to really tell, you know, it's like, oh, he had a good hole there. Sure, that might have happened, you know, with pads on, or, you know, it might have been a lot different if the defender can, you know, react in a different way. But they're using a lot of play action. They're rolling him out. And there was one play that looked like maybe like a read option where, he kept it, you know, pretty decisively. So he took off right away. It wasn't like there was a pass off of that. And so there was a lot of variety in the offense and not static routes, right? Like it's something that we really harped on in the last, the last coaching group where it just, you know, everything just felt flat. This at least had a lot of interesting motions. You made an interesting point about even like the formations with the halfback up close and being like a quick hitting run action. There was a jet sweep action, right? So they were playing with a lot more formational stuff than we've been used to in the last few years.
We talked about when you're watching them play, like the years past the jet sweep, it was like, what was the point of it in Nagy's scheme? You know, he rarely gave to the jet sweep guy. When the ball was snapped, there was no illusion of a jet sweep happening. You know, but we've kind of seen, you know, in this variation of this offense, you know, a lot of stuff from Sean McVay, they do the jet sweep a ton. And, you know, the Packers do that as well. I'd like to see that some of that come in because that's just it's a quick hitting outside play. The guy's, you know, he's in a dead run, full speed. You turn your hand off. He already has his everything going that direction. It's just a nice quick hitting play, and having the tailback up like that. It's again, it's part of that. It's all part of the package. You know, it's all quick hitting stuff, you know, the fakes there, the bootleg comes. So just these little things that we didn't see from Nagy. Like the more I hindsight this whole Nagy regime, the more pissed off I get, because there's just so many little stupid things that I'm like, why are they not doing these modern concepts? You know, just little stuff you don't see, like the fullback today. We saw the use of the fullback, you know, these he goes in motion right before the ball snap to get a better angle on his block. Just little things like this, you know, it's like, this is football. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And Matt Nagy wanted to run Matt Nagy offense, not this is our team, let's run the best thing for the team.
Yeah, I mean we don't want to spend too much time on Nagy.
No,
but clearly it was a collection of plays that he liked, where this is a system, this is an offensive scheme, this is something that is really taking over the league in a lot of ways. And obviously, you know, Luke Getsy's going to have his own take on this, you know, his own spin on it. It's not copycat directly from any one coaching staff or anything like that. But if you have the fundamentals, that, you know, building that foundation of the offense. And that's really where you're at. You're early in camp, and that's what you're seeing. You're not going to see what the Bears are going to be running in week 12 in second day of open practice of training camp, right? Like it's going to take time to build all that up. And honestly, it'll take time. You'll start seeing things next year and the year after that that aren't going to be able to be incorporated this year. That the offense takes time, but you're starting to see the fundamentals of this offense, and it's completely different than what we saw in camp in previous years from the last regime. And it's a much more fundamentally sound offense, and the coaches get after it.
Yeah.
Right. Like the coaches are vocal and they are intense. And I find that to be interesting. I know this isn't maybe a Fields report, but I want to bring it up here. I think Eberflus's hit system is coming as advertised. hustle. Well, I saw a lot of examples of getting on guys for the hustle yesterday. And then I'd say the takeaways piece of it was really evident today. A couple of picks, a lot of punching at the ball. You noted how many like peanut punches there were, and they got one. I can't remember exactly who the back was. Was it Herbert?
Might have put the ball
on the ground. And then it's everybody, you know, everybody on the side, all the defensive players, ball, and they're, you know, they're on it. They got the recovery. The defensive players are going nuts, right? And anytime a ball hits the ground on an incompletion, they're treating it like a fumble. Like they're all rallying to the ball. They're picking it up. They're running. Like, I mean, it is high energy. Go, go, go. A lot of fun to watch.
That mentality is, as Bears fans, from the Lovie Smith era. And of course, Coach Eberflus, his big mentor in the game of football is Rod Marinelli, who of course, him and Lovie Smith, you know, worked together for a long time. So, you know, you kind of see the philosophies, the hits principle, where it came from. You know, they track the loafs, you know, when the ball's on the ground, whether it's an incomplete pass, whatever it is, the entire defense goes, picks it up. And, you know, to them, it's a loose ball, live ball. They know it's not live, but it's in their brain now. See ball, get ball. And we're seeing it. And like you said, nothing's live. You know, it's when you're playing in helmets, it's just like when the guy has the ball, you just run up to him. You're supposed to, you know, two-hand touch him or just kind of give him a quick little pop and a wrap. Every defender, what they were doing was they were actually taking a shot at the ball. They were rapping, yes, but with that free hand, they were coming at the ball. You can see that the peanut punch style is being ingrained into the entire defense. And I'm sure that's been taking place the entire offseason. I'm sure they've been hearing it, you know, from day one. It's there. And, you know, you can tell that. I mean, usually you don't hear things, you know, when these kind of practices happen. But you could hear the hits, the slaps, the pops. You know, you hear it, you know, from the stuff. And there was one play kind of a late in the game or late in the day where Cole Kmet kind of had it. And, you know, I'm not going to say he lowered his shoulder, you know, but you can kind of tell he really tensed up because he knew the hit was coming and he delivered a blow because he doesn't want to have that ball knocked out. So, you know, it helps the ball carriers be more cognizant of, you know, the T in hits is takeaways. For the offensive standpoint is don't have takeaways. They're holding on to that ball tight.
It was noticeable. And, I turned to you and I said, I think these guys are ready to hit.
Oh yeah,
and I know that sounds silly, but I think that they have this ramp up period. They can't put pads on yet, but I think you start to tell that these guys are a little frustrated that they can't put a hit on, and offensive guys too. I think they want to initiate some contact, right? And you know they want to do some of that stuff. So I start to feel it kind of clicking a little bit. There was a little bit of tension there on one play. Blassingame got into it a little bit, a little extracurricular. You start to see that as camp wears on, because you keep going against the same guy, you get frustrated. You kind of work that out. That's happened in years past. You know, I remember reports of Akeem Hicks, you know, kind of taunting some of the guys on the offense. You know, I mean, eventually, you know, it's all one big team, but offensive defense, after so many reps, you know, you start to get a little chippy. Yeah. And that's why a lot of teams started going to those shared practices so that you could get somebody else. So you're not beating up on your own guys all the time. But it'll be interesting to see if we see a little bit of that elevated tomorrow. And then as other people are at camp, you know, to see if that sort of escalates a little bit, because these guys are ready to go.
They are. I mean, and you mentioned the intensity, and, you know, like my takeaway from the tweets from you and Sam yesterday was, you know, the intensity, you know, the yelling, you know, I wanted to see the coaches yell. I just, you know, I'm an old coach. I like seeing that intense part of it. And I turned to you at one point, I said, what's going on? Where's all the intensity? And as soon as the individuals ended, it's like, as soon as they were going to go to some team stuff, it's like a switch flipped and everyone, the yelling came out, let's go. And it's like the coaches, staff, and, you know, the players, they were all hustling to their spots. And, you know, it was cool. I mean, like you said, you can see it. I mean, the culture's changing in Chicago, and, you know, it may not lead to wins, you know, right now, but it's, you know, I'm excited to see where this goes.
It was kind of like when we stepped off the bus at Alice Hall and there was like three people yelling at me, right? When we got off the bus,
someone
was
like,
hey, that's a great shirt. And then someone was like, you need to be doing this. And then this guy, like security guard, just started yelling at me. And like, way too many people yelling at me at once. I don't know what to respond to. Thank you. It was a nice shirt.
I generally ignore most people when I'm walking out, just because, you know, I'm just, you know, But yeah, I did kind of pick up on the what's happening. Everyone's fired up. You know,
it was
it's
a
good
lot.
Though. It's Coach Flus's philosophy going to the security and everyone.
The philosophy
all
going to the buses. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. All right, hey, we'll take a quick break. We'll let somebody pay the bills here for a second. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk about top offensive, top defensive players. So anybody stand out particularly for you on the offensive side of the ball today in day two of camp practice?
You know, I'd like to go Cole Kmet again. I think he had a nice practice. I mean, you know, it wasn't the stuff down the seam like we saw yesterday. He was used in the flat a little bit more. But I mentioned that one play towards the end where he kind of, you know, bowed up, you know, and it's, you know, he added some muscle this offseason. So that's Swole Kmet now. So he kind of bowed up, protected the ball, and he was there. So I don't know. Like I said yesterday, I'm a little higher on him than most. And, you know, he had a nice catch over the middle. He had a couple touchdowns in the flat. You know, I think he's playing pretty good.
Cole Kmet, a.k.a. Swole Kmet. That's got to be Danny Meehan's, our friend Danny Meehan's favorite player now that he's Swole Kmet.
It might be, yeah.
Holy moly, that is a great nickname. That's fantastic. We got to put that on a T-shirt, see if we can get that out there. I actually thought about that, and that was my player yesterday. But I'm going to give it Justin Fields. Now, I think Justin Fields a little up and down yesterday. You could say that someone is going to say, well, I mean, how great could he be if he had two picks? One bad ball. I'm not worried about the tip. That's going to happen. One bad ball, but overall, I thought he bounced back pretty well. Really sharp in the 7-on-7. Again, overall, I think that he played really well in the teams. I can forgive one bad ball. A lot of good balls there. He took what was there. He wasn't really pressing. There wasn't any like kind of crazy, I'm going to try to fit it in throws. But there were a couple where he found guys over the middle in traffic. Again, they weren't 50 yards down the field or anything like that. But he was finding guys. And then there was a lot of red zone work today. So it's close quarters to begin with. And he was very efficient in the red zone. And he was finding guys in those little areas and able to score touchdowns in the red zone areas, which I was pretty impressed with.
Let's talk about Justin Fields real quick. The bit of the up and down. You mentioned a couple picks early. So we're there. We're tweeting about what happened, right? So what happens is the anti-Fields people come out. See, Fields sucks, right? Right away, it's like it's one play in the third day of training camp. But, you know, they're there. You know, they're coming out there. And then the flip side, he finishes the day 10 for 10 in the drill. You know, I think he had like three straight touchdown passes at one point. See, Fields is great. You know, it's like, you know, don't pick a tweet just to kind of support your narrative, you know. Enjoy the ride. I mean, it's practice. It's early. It's, you know, it's training camp. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's a good point. I think that, you know, if you're there and you're trying to take in, it's impossible to take everything in. I mean, even with the two of us trying to look at different things, we were still like, hey, who tipped that? Hey, you know, did you see who was at right tackle there? Like, I mean, it's impossible for two of us. Yeah. We had five of us. We might be able to cover it. But even then, you know, with individual drills and one-on-ones and stuff, it might not be covered. We do our best. You see what you can. There's a reason why coaches tape practice and then they go back and they watch the practice. We don't get the benefit of that. And we can't take video, or at least we can't share video. We're just taking still photos and trying to piece it together from there. So we're doing our best. I thought overall yesterday felt a little up and down for Justin. Today, I thought he looked sharper. He took what was there. He made some nice throws over the middle. I'm not worried about the two balls that ended up in the defender's hands. So let's go to the other side of the ball. Top defensive player for day two for you.
You know, it's kind of hard at defense because like we talked about earlier, you know, the D-line can't do much. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're kind of limited what you can do there. So it's mostly linebacker secondary. And I'm going to go Kyler Gordon. I noticed right away. Like yesterday, he was playing the nickel, and you know when he started off, he was starting at outside corner. It was him and Jalen Johnson with Tavon Young at nickel. Within a few reps, Gordon went to the nickel. So the Bears early on here, two straight days, they're showing enough confidence in a rookie to play him in two different positions. And like you said, he did get an interception on the day. And, you know, I like his energy. You know, he's very active when he's out there playing. And man, if he could play nickel on occasion, play outside, I think it bodes well for this defense.
Yeah. I mean, if he can start being that versatile early, and you have a guy like Jalen Johnson who can just sit in a cornerback spot on the outside, he just gives you so much flexibility. I'm going to go with the other guy, the other rookie, Jaquan Brisker. That was the play of the day.
Yeah.
That pick that he had, he played perfect technique. He undercut Cole Kmet, cut the route off. Again, I don't think it was a very good ball. It wouldn't have been picked if it was a good ball, right? But it wasn't such an obvious like throw behind him or anything like that. I think it was just a really nice play by Brisker. And he really just played it perfectly. And his timing's good. His instincts are good. And he was covering Cole Kmet, who, I got to tell you, gave Eddie Jackson all kinds of trouble yesterday.
Yeah.
And so Brisker did a very nice job of carrying that route up, undercutting it, and then taking it to the house. And, you know, I can't say that he made 20 plays today because he's a safety, right? Yeah. But he made the best play of the day. So he's going to be my top player. But we talked a little bit about this last night. You have a guy like Brisker who can come down in the box. He allows you to maybe run big nickel where you can bring in Dane Cruikshank as a third safety. You've got Kyler Gordon who can slide into the nickel if you want to play another corner, right? I mean, maybe you could play dime packages where you can play with some of these guys. So as offenses continue to evolve and they're going to start doing, oh, we're going to put two guys in the slot, we're going to do all this kind of stuff. The Bears are looking like they have the answers. They potentially have the answers here with diverse skill sets in their secondary with their first two picks, Ryan Poles' first two picks. That's great. I mean, it just justifies exactly what he was trying to do in the second round there.
Kyler Gordon playing some outside, playing some nickel. You know, Jaquan Brisker, I watched him as well a little bit. He lined up, you know, he was up at the box. He was deep. He was kind of all over the place as well. And it was a great interception on his part. You know, some of this could be that they're used to some of these route combinations they're seeing from the offense. They've been practicing with it all summer. But still, he read it. He made the play. He undercut the route. He made a good pick. And I'm excited for both these rookies. You know, I mean, the time of the draft, like most Bears fans, like, why are we taking defensive players? Man, if these two guys are legitimately going to be this type of guy that we think they're going to be moving forward, that's a heck of an initial draft from Ryan Poles.
One of those things where second round guys, a lot of guys liked them, even first round talent into the first round kind of thing. I mean, they play like it. Then you've got two really good guys in the secondary to go along with one of your most talented players anyway, in Jalen Johnson. Hopefully Eddie has a good year as well. I know Eddie's pretty polarizing right now. My tweet yesterday on Eddie Jackson sure riled a lot of people up. So yeah. People are still getting fired up about that one. So I don't have much else, but let's, closing thought. We're going to be back tomorrow.
We will.
We're probably not going to live stream until later tomorrow night, just because I have to drive all the way back to Iowa. But we'll certainly be doing the same thing tomorrow, going to practice and doing more live stream and more reporting. But any final thoughts on day two?
No, it was exciting. It's cool to be out there seeing, you know, the way the whole, you know, crowd is amped up for what's happening there, and, you know, starting to see some of the new wrinkles in place we haven't seen the last few years. And, you know, I mean, I do want to really quick mention rookie Dominique Robinson, man. He looks like the dude, right? Just from a physical standpoint, looks you look like at him, it, you're like man, this guy looks like, you know, he's obviously a really good athlete, you know, but you kind of watch the way he moves and the way he carries himself on the field. You know, you kind of see the athletic in him. And, you know, there's a lot of good young players on this roster that, you know, it's going to take some time to develop, but, you know, I'm excited for this youth to see them all grow and, you know, someday make this Chicago Bears team into a perennial playoff contender.
Yeah, it always strikes me just how big some of these guys are.
Yeah.
Last year we were at camp and I turned to you and I was like, "Who's this 90? Like, this guy looks like a player." And it was Blackson, and it was just like I didn't know who he was. And he just kind of like, oh, he looks like a player. He looks like a guy who's going to make this roster. And you know, sure enough, he was a contributor. And sometimes you just look at a guy and you're like, oh yeah, okay. Like from a physical presence standpoint, he looks like he's already there. And I would say, I feel the same way about Velus Jones. He looks like he's ready to just step in. And I know from a physical standpoint, you know, he's at his peak, you know, being where he's at in his age. And I know a lot's been made out of that, but I think that there's maybe some method to Ryan Poles' madness here, and that this guy looks like he's ready to contribute right away. And so there may have been a push to use some of that draft capital for players that can immediately contribute, and we'll figure out the rest of that developmental type stuff later down the line. Velus is going to be part of this offense. You mentioned the jet sweep action earlier. Who's going to run that jet sweep action better than Velus Jones?
He made a few plays today. I do want to mention real quick, Equanimeous St. Brown.
Yeah.
He made some nice plays today as well. A big 6'5" wide receiver. I know when the Bears made a trade for N'Keal Henry, a lot of people thought, Harry, he'd be the immediate X. But I think that starting X spot's going to come down to both those guys. And I think St. Brown, he doesn't have the pedigree, but he's a big body guy with some legit 4.4 speed. So he looked good today as well.
Yeah, Harry made a play as well.
Harry did too, yeah.
So start to see these guys maybe start make more plays and separate themselves a little bit. I think Pettis had a drop. Dante Pettis had a drop. So, a little bit of that. But yeah, interesting. Well, I suppose that's it for today. We'll probably cut it off here. Make sure that I'm going to type up camp notes here in a little bit. So I'll have camp notes up on the site. But Lester and I will be tweeting out tomorrow's practice. So follow us on Twitter. I'm at GridironBorn. Lester is at Wilt Fong JR. Listen to some of the podcasts that are out. I know Robert Schmitz has a new one. Listen to our new podcast, Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. Excellent debut episode there. We're just going to keep firing more and more content in the Windy City Gridiron podcast channel and on the Second City Gridiron YouTube channel. So
we're all over.
We're all over, man. All right. Well, until next time, bear down, everybody.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.